Robber's Wine by Ellen Hart. Prologue. Pokagama Lake, early October, 1963. Something funny was going on. Annie Dumont could tell. Her mom had barely spoken during dinner. Her younger brother and sister had noticed it too, both attempting to catch Annie's eye, wanting her to explain what was going on. After all, she was the oldest, in first grade. Lyle was in kindergarten, and Melody was just a baby, 3 1/2. Annie was supposed to help them understand the world. That was her job. But this time, she couldn't. She couldn't even figure it out herself. Even worse, no one had bothered to light a fire in the fireplace before dinner. Annie loved the smell of wood smoke, especially when the leaves were turning fairy colors outside and the air was chilly and damp. Tonight, the house felt as cold as the treehouse her dad made for her before he went away. Last spring, Mom had talked to the three of them about something called a separation. She said that she and Daddy weren't going to be married anymore. All Annie knew was that she missed him, even though he came and took them on Saturdays, sometimes to go to the island swimming, sometimes to go fishing or lunch in town. It was never enough. She cried at night, wishing he would come home again and be just like before, but Mom said he was going to live in town now. One thing Annie did know. If Dad had been here tonight, there would have been a fire. Yesterday, Annie's grandma Fanny had come home from the hospital in Earlton, except she hadn't gone to her cottage, the one that a bunch of men had built closer to the lake. Instead, she was staying in one of the downstairs bedrooms at the main house, Annie's house. Annie had been sitting in the tree when her mom drove up. She'd watched her help Grandma up the stairs into the screen porch. Grandma didn't want to go inside right away. Annie assumed she must have sat on the porch until close to dark. She was in her bedroom now, resting. She didn't always eat with the family, so Annie wasn't surprised she wasn't at the dinner table. But Mom was upset about something. As Annie thought about it, she decided it was probably about Grandma. Annie studied her mother's face. She seemed so sad tonight. She'd been sad a lot lately. Sad before Dad left. Sad after. And now sad again. But this was worse. She hadn't been eating anything. When Annie was sad, she didn't feel like eating much either. "Anne," said her mother, her hands folded in front of her face, elbows on the table. "I need you to help me tonight. I want you to take Lyle and Melody upstairs and see that they get their baths. You need to take one, too." "But..." "Don't put much water in the tub. I want it to be really shallow and no roughhousing. Is that understood? If you have any problems, just call me. I'll be downstairs with Grandma. When you're done, I want you to all get ready for bed. I put a clean sleeper in Melody's drawer. I'll be up to say goodnight later."
"But aren't you going to read us a story?" asked Lyle, his voice indignant.
"We'll see," said Mother, rising wearily from the table. "Your grandmother is very ill. Remember we talked about it the other night. I told you that when she came home from the hospital, I was going to need help from each one of you. We have to take care of her now, and of each other. We must always take care of each other. That's what families do." She wiped a tear away from her eye. The tear silenced Lyle. "Now, when you're ready for bed, I'll come up. One of you can come down and get me." Annie watched her mother turn her back and leave the room. All the food was left sitting on the table. She'd made no attempt to clear it away or to ask Annie or Lyle to do it for her. This was a strange night.
"I'll go down and get Mom," said Lyle, pulling on his pajama bottoms. All the kids still slept in one room. Mom said that Annie would be moving into her own room soon, probably the one Grandma was sleeping in right now. Lyle would get this room, and Melody would move closer to Mom. The house was very big and made of logs. It was the only log house Annie had ever seen.
"No," said Annie, "I'll go. You stay here with Melody."
"I will not," he said indignantly. Lyle was usually indignant about something.
"I go," said Melody, skipping out of the room.
Lyle and Annie looked at each other, then bolted for the door themselves. Once downstairs, they crept quietly toward the bedroom. Something about the stillness in the house made them feel the need to be still themselves. Annie put a finger to her lips.
"Shh," she commanded. inching closer to the open doorway. She crouched down. Lyle and Melody crouched behind her. Inside, her grandmother was speaking.
"I acted rashly, Belle. I'm afraid you and the kids are going to have to pay for it someday."
"Don't concern yourself about that now," said Annie's mother. She was sitting next to the bed, a pile of papers in her lap.
"But I have to talk about it. I'm dying.
You have an enemy in this town because of me, and I can't leave this world without warning you. You have to take this seriously. You're all in danger. The only one protecting you now is..."
Annie's eyes opened wide. Danger? What did her grandmother mean?
She looked over her shoulder at Lyle. His eyes were wide and fixed intently on the two grown-ups. Glancing down at Melody, Annie saw that she was examining a snap on her sleeper top. They listened for a few more moments, and then Annie motioned for Lyle and Melody to follow her. They raced through the darkened house to the kitchen on the other end. As they passed through the dining room, Annie saw that the food was still sitting out on the table. Nothing had been put away.
"What did she say?" demanded Lyle. "I heard Grandma say that the only thing protecting us was... And then I didn't hear it right. I want to know."
So did Annie. She could tell they were scared. Melody had started to cry.
"What did Grandma say?" pleaded Lyle.
Annie climbed up on a stool, trying to think. She'd heard the words, too, but like Lyle, they didn't make any sense. She squeezed her eyes shut and tried to remember. She could hear her grandmother's voice saying, "The only one protecting you now is..." Her eyes popped open.
"Robber's wine," she announced.
Lyle cocked his head.
"Huh?"
Annie wasn't absolutely sure, but she had to say something. It was her job, and robber's wine was almost right. She was sure of it.
"What's wabu wine?" asked Melody.
"Yeah," said Lyle indignantly, a hand rising to his hip.
"Well," said Annie, not having the faintest idea, "I'll tell you."
She had to think fast. She jumped off the stool and ran to the china cupboard in the dining room. Melody and Lyle followed. Opening one of the lower cabinets, she removed a wine glass and then marched back to the kitchen. "Now," she said to Lyle, "you hold the glass while I go get the wine." First she ran to the bathroom and brought back several bottles. Next she dragged a chair over the cupboard above the refrigerator and, on her tiptoes, removed several more bottles from her mother's supplies. Assembling all in front of her on the kitchen table, she asked Lyle to hold the glass steady while she poured dandruff shampoo into it. Next came some cream rinse, then a bit of hydrogen peroxide, castor oil, calamine lotion, Bactine, and finally she topped it off with a sprinkling of Ajax cleaning powder and a tiny bit of Mom's favorite perfume. "There," she said, smiling proudly at her creation, "robber's wine."
"But what's it for?" asked Lyle. "I'm not drinking that gunk."
"Yeah," said Melody indignantly. She was learning indignation from Lyle.
"I didn't ask you to. Just listen. See, it's not really wine, it's poison. It looks like wine because it's in a wine glass. If a robber comes in here to try and hurt us, he'll see it on the counter and drink it, and then he'll die."
Lyle thought about it for a minute. His face finally brightened. "Right," he pronounced.
"Right," agreed Melody. "Give me some."
"No," said Lyle, grabbing her hand before she could touch it. "You must never drink it. Never, ever, ever. Otherwise you'll be dead. You don't want to be dead, do you?" He made a strangling sound and stuck out his tongue. Melody shrank back, shaking her head gravely.
"We'll leave this on the counter tonight," said Annie.
"Do we have to do it every night?" asked Lyle. Annie thought it over.
"No, I don't think so. Just on the weekends, like tonight. Robbers only come on the weekends."
"I knew that," said Lyle indignantly.
"Me too," said Melody, punctuating her statement by plunking down on the kitchen floor.